26 a.m. on Wednesday. This is a lot less funny when, never mind. Wednesday, the 11th, 2021, and this is Basketball This Week Done Quickly. Maybe the last episode. I'm not going to say that. I almost said something that somebody that would have probably broken my heart if it would not have gone like I wanted it to. So, but anyway, yeah. So sorry for the delay. I had intended on doing a podcast as soon as 2 days after the last one, but after the Russ trade, it took me a little while to digest that, and I wanted to see what would actually happen in free agency. I wanted to see how it played out, and it pretty much all played out in the 48 hours after free agency opened, for the Lakers at least. But you know, I was like, well, let's see what happens with the Schroeder thing. Schroeder is one of the key free agents here. He's surely this will be solved quickly. No, it wasn't. So I had resolved that I was just gonna go ahead and do it. Do the show last Saturday. But I ended up being unexpectedly busy then. So I came in I drove to Madera Canyon on Sunday to do the prompt, because I knew there was gonna have to be, it was gonna take quite a bit of prep to prep, not prompt, to get this done. And I had intended on doing it that night, but that night is when my lungs started to get really bad. So, but I did the work. I've been to the doctor. Lungs aren't going to get much better for a little while. So, if you've made the foolish decision to listen to my show, it's on you, dog. I've warned you many times that this day was coming. So it's on you, dog. All on you. None of this is my fault. Maybe it won't be a problem in a short while. So let's get started. USA Basketball. That was the first news item I put here. You know, first and foremost, I think it's very, very important to shout out the amazing record-setting performance of USA women in USA Basketball. Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, getting their fifth medals. Not like swimming. And not that swimming is awesome. Not to take anything away from people who only have to go to Olympics once to get five medals, which is pretty awesome, all things considered too. But they've went to five different Olympics and have gotten gold all those times. True dominance in the gold medal game. Brittany Griner just was just shit all over them. No other way to say it. Got to use the true basketball term. She just shit all over them. And that was that. That game was not close. Not close at all. Doesn't look like that record is going to end anytime soon. I think there was one team that was a little close the round robin period. I guess it's not round robin anymore. I guess it's pool play. I guess there was one team in pool play that was kind of made it a game, but in metal, the metal rounds, it was, there was never a game that was really in doubt. Like, even if the other team was leading after the first quarter, the USA women had the lead by the second, had control of complete and firm control of the game before the third was halfway over, and were playing their extended lineups in the fourth. At least, that's like the very least. There were games where they were playing their extended lineups after the first quarter. So yeah, amazing. Men weren't much worse. You know, they don't have the highs that the women do. You could make the argument that the women are. Some people try to say that the women in the U.S. are the game is more. There's more space between them and the rest of the world. I don't think that totally tracks when you look at the actual rosters of women's basketball, but if you want to make that argument, say that's why the games are closer for the men, if that makes you feel better, if that helps your toxic masculinity, then yo, go for it. But I mean, the truth is the men's team just isn't as dominant as the women's team is. There just isn't that, like, there just isn't that hold that they have. But it was still a very impressive, win. It was Kevin Durant against the world most of the time, with like a little help from Drew Holiday on defense. That was it. But, you know, in the gold medal game, there was a good step up from everybody, so it wasn't just that. And, like, the men came to play. If they struggled, it was because it's a very difficult situation. A very difficult situation to be a star of that caliber and know what you're supposed to do when you come to a team where you're still a star. And maybe you're not the best option, but maybe you think you are. And maybe you have a right to think you are. Maybe, like, your numbers are, like, a point higher. You know, there's reasons to think. It may not be your argument that you're the best player on the team may not be illogical. But if anything, Team USA men suffered from overpassing, oversharing, and over-niceness. But, you know, they got it done. They committed to defense. And when things got really bad, they brought it. So good for them. If you were, like, really critical of them, you owe them an apology. Yeah, they did a nice job. All right, free agency. Big free agency changes. Well, we're going to have to start off the Lakers. They reset their whole roster, and I don't usually read for my notes. Maybe this would be a better show if I did. But I'm going to do this now just because there's so much. Okay, they traded KCP, who was the leader of their defense, Montrezl Harrell, who was their advanced stats third-best player, and Kuzma, auto-corrected to comma. I can't laugh. Who did struggle offensively, but progressed mightily on defense for Russell Westbrook. They let Alex Caruso go, despite him getting a relatively small contract, which suggests they're afraid of the salary cap or salary tax. It will be a very different experience next year. That's true. I didn't put down who they signed. I'm not happy about this, but they signed Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Carmelo Anthony, and other players. Day one. No, Carmelo Anthony was day three. I'm sorry. Day two, they signed Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn. So at least it was younger players. Players who were available to the Lakers for a reason. Malik Monk is an amazing offensive player. Possibly the best offensive player of his age. Definitely the best offensive player under the age of whatever DeMar DeRozan's age is on the market. And he received a week minimum contract. I don't think that was valid. But if you want to, I mean, he's had some off the court issues, and he's had some locker room issues. And those have led to on the court issues as far as him like being able to run an offense and play a role. So although he's very young and although he's very good offensively, his ability to stay on this Lakers team is not a certainty. Same with Kendrick Nunn. I think Kendrick Nunn is pretty certainly going to be there, especially since he got the taxpayer MLE. He's a solid starter for Miami. Played very good in starter minutes in Miami. Did not like coming off the bench in Miami. Played very poorly when he came off the bench. Major domestic violence, like, it's just sick shit. Domestic violence issues. That's why he is in the NBA right now instead of college basketball still. I don't know. Maybe he would be coming out this year. Maybe he would have came out last year. But he was dismissed from college for a pretty violent domestic violence act. So, you know, whatever. It's not whatever. It's bad. It's just bad. But the butt onto that, if we're going to let the white dudes do this, and we're going to let them get away with it, we shouldn't let them get away with it. That's the way I'm going to say it. We shouldn't let this guy get away with it either. The reason I'm just trying to say butt is because I'm totally powerless here. I don't have any way to enact any ability for the Lakers to remove him from the team. And also, as we've talked about in the past, people, I don't know. We go listen to the Jason Kidd episode if you want to hear my full thoughts on that. That's all I'll say there. So, that was that for their. Then they signed Melo on day three. Melo has been one of the worst defensive players in the league for the last 10 years, and didn't get better last year. But he's hitting the three pretty good. He seems fine coming off a bench. He seems happy to come off a bench. And he's a guy that is capable of defense, like Olympic Melo. There's a reason they call it Olympic Melo. Maybe Frank Vogel is the coach that reaches him. Maybe LeBron and AD reach him. I have a feeling maybe Westbrook reaches him, because I have a feeling that LeBron and AD are gonna get Russ to play defense again, because Russ likes defense. He just hasn't been doing it for the last couple of years. Russ is definitely the best part of all this madness. I just wish it didn't cost KCP. I could have lived with it if that didn't cost KCP. That's something I could have lived with for sure. But, you know, I mean, I guess I'm living with it anyway. But I guess I don't have but I would have zero criticism of it if it didn't cost KCP too. Because I kind of believe in Westbrook, kind of. So, Lakers, completely different. All right, I'm going to go faster for the rest. This is Basketball This Week Done Quickly, not Basketball This Week Have Bad Lungs. All right. Heat. They signed arguably the best free agent on the market, Kyle Lowry. They signed P.J. Tucker and Markieff Morris, two really solid role players. You kind of wonder why the Lakers let Markieff go when they could have paid him more than he... Much more, not much. Well, I mean, technically, they could have paid him a lot more than he's getting in Miami, but they could have given him a fair market contract, which is kind of what he's playing below in Miami. So, got to question that there for the Lakers again. But, sorry, the Heat are ready to compete again in the East. They're gonna be a better team than last year, and they're gonna definitely definitely contend for the finals. Is this the team that beats a healthy Nets team? Nah. But if there, this may be the team that beats a Nets team that isn't healthy. That's for sure a possibility. Okay. Wizards. Well, the Wizards absorbed most of the players the Lakers traded. So they also remade their team. They also signed Spencer Dinwiddie in a sign and trade. So they have a very different identity than they had last year. They still may really struggle in defense just because Bradley Beal is a pretty bad defender. And when your best player is a pretty bad defender, it's kind of hard to... It doesn't totally work. But Bradley Beal had showed a desire to play defense. He showed it in Team USA. If that desire is real, he has KCP on the other block from him. I don't know. Like, I think to play a good defense, you need four guys playing good defense. I think if you have three guys playing good defense, or like Utah, like one guy playing defense, it's smoke and mirrors, you know, and it tends to catch up with teams in the end. So we'll see. Oh yeah, the Lakers let Alex Caruso go. Speaking of defense. For Romo, and then they did re-sign THT, so that's good. I like that move. I like re-signing THT. They didn't trade Marc Gasol to somewhere bad for salary relief, so that's good. And we signed Dwight Howard, who, you know, could be worse. My opinion is on Dwight Howard and the Lakers are well documented here, but you know, once there's not a show anymore. Because I'm in the grave, you'll have plenty of time to listen to my opinions on Dwight Howard. Not really. Well, I was gonna say I'm not really dying. But anyway, the Bulls. Bulls added Lonzo and Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan. They got in trouble are getting in trouble for tampering. For the Lonzo part of that. I guess it's key, because how much you believe in the Bulls' improvement is how much you believe in Lonzo Ball and DeRozan, I feel. If you're somebody who doesn't think what Lonzo does is better than his stats, if you're somebody who is well aware of his limitations and doesn't think there's something magical going on that people who watch him regularly can't see, you're probably a pretty big believer in this team. And if you think DeRozan being one of the worst defenders in the league isn't... Damn, I've had to say that a lot today. If you don't think that matters, then maybe you believe in this Bulls team. I definitely believe in Levine. He was very good for Team USA, both here and past Team USA runs. He's a player who could definitely who shows he could play defense under the right coach. Maybe he's on that team now. Maybe with some other defenders, he's gonna do that. You know, because Lonzo, he's lost the ability to defend players bigger than him and like more athletic than him, just because he's lost some athleticism for sure with all the injuries. Maybe a summer off will fix that. I can't say what he's gonna look like. Come the start of the season, he looked pretty flat out there with New Orleans. But maybe he looks better. I don't know. If he does, then the Bulls have a few good defenders, and maybe they can play some defense. But they're going to have to, because the East is going to be a lot better this year. And they were not a playoff team. They weren't a play-in team last year, so... That's a team that needs a lot of improvement, and I don't know if they... I think they did enough to be a playoff team, not even a real playoff team, but if you look at the teams ahead of them, there's not a lot of room. All right, Pelicans. Perhaps the most controversial team dealings, which is amazing when a team traded for Russell Westbrook, the most controversial player in the NBA. For basketball reasons, not for bad reasons. But the Pelicans, yeah, they did a sign-and-trade for Devontae Graham. They let Lonzo go. They still haven't re-signed Josh Hart. Again, how you feel about this is how you feel about Lonzo. If you thought Lonzo was pretty bad, then this may be addition by subtraction. They got rid of Bledsoe on draft day, or a few days before draft day. So this team should be better than last year. Are they closer to the play-in? I'm not so sure. Would I have traded that Lakers pick? No. Yes. No. Yes. Yes, I would have. Never mind. I let the bad people into my head, the Pelicans doubters, because they said they should have traded their own pick, which no. Trading the Lakers pick is fine to me. Or trading one of those Lakers picks is fine to me. I don't think the Lakers are ever going to be bad enough for those picks to be as valuable as people think. Not anytime soon. LeBron is going to play that whole contract, so stop laughing. That's me stopping. You can laugh at me. I need to stop laughing because I don't go too well. Anyway, same with the Hornets. I think the Hornets overall improved. They got rid of. I'm not gonna lie, man. It says in my notes. Look it up. I don't remember what the Hornets did. I'm sure you know. I remember thinking it was good. Sorry, this is already a very long podcast where I would go look it up. Mavs, a lot of Mavs fans aren't happy with how their season went, and I get it. But I think they replaced their parts with shooters. They brought back Tim Hardaway Jr., who's very good. I wish they would have found a way to use more of that cap space on something that was going to be there for a few years, since Luka signed an extension that will pay him $50 million in its last year. It's a lot of money, and that's a lot of your cap. Almost 40% of your cap if it doesn't move very much. It would have been better if they would have been able to spend some of that free agency money, but they couldn't make Lowry come in. And it's probably good they didn't get DeMar DeRozan. They could have been more aggressive with Schroeder. They probably should have been, who ended up going to Boston, but, you know, they weren't. So that's that. And then the Knicks, again, the Knicks added Kemba because the Thunder couldn't find any takers, so they bought him out. Other than that, they mostly rolling the team back. I think that was a good move. I don't think they were at their cap last year. I think most of the contracts they handed out were fair if you consider the contracts exist to be possibly traded down the line, which is probably true. The Knicks are going to be pretty aggressive trying to get a superstar when one becomes available. So, and they're not going to have to trade their whole team to do it. They only going to have to trade some of their team to do it. Denver added Jeff Green, which is a nice pickup for them. Their bench is going to not be such a wasteland next year. Still haven't signed Paul Millsap. Nobody has yet. He's out there. I can't hold this up any longer for Paul Millsap. Nets added Patty Mills, who was definitely the best MLE level guy, and they got him for the taxpayers MLE, which is good on them. Great shooter, and just coming fresh off of an amazing Olympics, should fit in. It's the rich get richer. A good team added a good player. Good on them. Pretty much all they did. That's all they needed to do. And the Clippers, they also mostly ran it back, which was kind of a situation they were forced in when, having to deal with Kawhi being out a year and Kawhi re-signing, which is, they should do that. They should re-sign Kawhi. That's not a bad idea. So, that kind of limited their flexibility, though, this offseason. All right, I think that's it for major moves. I feel like coming on strong at the end. I've worked the voice out. I I could go another 20 minutes, but I rushed through all the teams. I'm sure I'll do another episode. If I do it like this, I can do it when it's worse. Anyway, cool. Cool. Talk to y'all later. Be well, my beautiful friends. Goodbye.
From your grave.
It is grand.
You're good, but I'm better.
Don't stay up late. Eat all your greens now. Remember, I love you. I'll see you soon.